Welcome to the Storage Playbook. Whether you're a seasoned pro or just dipping your toes in the industry, this podcast is your go-to resource for self-storage operations. I'm your host, Rick Beal, alongside with Megan Smith, and each week we dive into all things self-storage. So grab your headphones, pour your coffee, and let's get this started. In today's episode, we're going to do a deep dive into a pressing issue that we've all faced: how large self-storage operators are influencing rates and reshaping our industry. Over the last few years, we've witnessed a noticeable trend. Major players in the self-storage sector have been acquiring smaller facilities, larger facilities at an unprecedented rate. This consolidation has resulted in a marketplace where a handful of companies are able to wield a considerable influence, not only a number of facilities, but also over pricing structures within an industry and how things are folding out. So in this episode, we're going to explore kind of the impact of this consolidation, what that means for self-storage rates, and we'll kind of look at the factors driving this trend and kind of the implications it means for consumers and also for small owner operators. So this is going to be a heavy one today. So buckle up. It's going to be a lot of fun. Megan, how are you doing this morning?
I am good. How are you?
All right.
It's a light and fluffy topic.
Light, fluffy topic. Yeah, absolutely. So Megan, why don't you kind of give us a little history about how this has kind of come to fruition in the past, almost the past year or so?
Yeah. A little further back than that, I think. Storage was a sleepy little sector forever ago when you and I first started going to shows and got into the industry. And then it really started getting attention for being, low expense ratio. Very few people you didn't have to have a lot of people. The profits got high. They were okay for a while. Construction costs were fairly low. Barriers to entry were fairly low. So a lot of people got into self-storage kind of pre-COVID. Of course, we had that development swing where people started getting into it, but it was still okay. Population growth kept up with it. People started renting units. Everything kind of stayed on pact. And then COVID came and it seemed like just fueled the fire with storage being, a mandatory business. So we were okay. We didn't lose like retail did.
COVID was like the crack of self-storage. It was just like, and you just like got shot up with crack and just everything went insane. It's how that works.
No, I don't know those things, but rates got just pushed so high and demand just got arbitrarily inflated. So people started trading, cap rates dropped just obscenely low levels, and people started trading stores very, very rapidly, bringing money from other sectors into storage, and it got the attention of Wall Street and all the bigger players. And once you ring that bell, you don't go back from that. So now we get to face the other side of things where people paid a lot. They've consolidated. They've come into the market. Rates have softened. People aren't moving. Interest rates have gone up. And now we're saying, okay, what is going to happen next? So it's been very interesting to see that.
Yeah, it's been interesting. Last year, of course, right around this time, I think we all kind of expected a pretty strong lease-up season. And as we look back at trends in pricing, I know as we both have done that, yeah. We had pretty strong pricing trends. And then also all of a sudden the bottom just we lost it. I know now we're kind of competing in various markets around the industry right now about, places that are, A-class facilities, brand new, bringing people in for $12, $20 for a 10 by 10. And, we're facing that in a number of our facilities where we don't have a Class A facility. Our rates were, decent, $120, and someone else comes in with $20 rates. And, we all know that their prices are going to get jacked up, and it's just a matter of time. Mm-hmm. But Joe Consumer doesn't get that. So
that affects the rental decision, right, for Joe Consumer of where do I go? And then also, as we do our revenue management program, our rate increases, we're seeing much more 120, 150% occupancy because these performers were written on rates going up 3% or 6% every year, and now they've gone down 20. So how do you adjust for new rates at a 20% drop, keeping your existing customer rates increasing and hitting your numbers for your bank loan covenants?
Yeah.
That's been an interesting problem.
I remember seeing an article, I won't say where they said how it was a good thing that these large REITs are combining. So call me crazy, but when large companies combine, it typically isn't a good thing. You know, I'm not a history buff in any way, shape, or form, but if you look back in the history of capitalism, the history of United States, when large companies come together, it's almost like it forms a thing, crazy thing called a monopoly. I don't know. And monopoly is a game. So if you're the larger player in the game, you can kind of do whatever the hell you want to. And it really sucks. And I think we're seeing that right now. And it's unfortunate because you're having kind of a dominance of large operators in these concentrated markets where they can kind of come in and control a significant share. I don't think it's going to go away anytime soon. I know a bunch of people who are coming in, you know, a bunch of our friends who are coming in and buying self-storage facilities. Capital money's coming in, buying self-storage facilities with a end game in mind. That end game is obviously to sell it. Well, who are you going to sell this to? Mm-hmm. Larger capital companies? Sure, maybe. But you're going to sell it to REITs. So I really think we're seeing a foundational shift in our industry that in 5 years, 6 years, 10 years, whereas we used to have the vast majority of self-storage being individual mom-and-pop, quote-unquote mom-and-pop operators, I think we're going to see that shift in the next 10 years where it's going to be flipped. And you're not going to see that anymore because of what's happening in self-storage.
And as every business has a business cycle, I mean, that's just what it goes through. You have your...
But it sucks, Megan.
Well...
And it's stupid.
We can also look at history and see what's going to happen. And so you have your new business, right? And it comes out, profits are high because it's new, or actually low, it's new. And then you have your early adapters, and then there's a lot of profit. Then everybody goes, oh, what's going on over there? Let me join. More competition, less profit comes in. And then you start maturing as a business and things form equilibrium. So I think we're a little out of balance with some of the COVID factors that hit. But, you know, the end story is what how profitable will storage be moving forward? Like every business cycle, things tend to level out at some point in time. And whenever you hit Instagram on any industry, and your neighbors are talking about it, you know, it may not be the most profitable thing in the world anymore because it's just too public.
We went to a real estate investment meeting last night, and there was a handful of people who want to get in self-storage. Mm-hmm. Anybody who we've met has been in multifamily or whatever, you know, they've seen benefits of self-storage and they want to get in self-storage. And, you know, I love this industry, but, you know, it's I don't want it to be kind of like the mattress firm companies of the industry where we have to have waving little inflatable things and it's literally on every corner.
Yeah.
It's a shame. But so, you know, Megan, what are kind of the impacts we're seeing this on small owner operators about this? Things.
So a lot of things. So marketing has been such a huge thing, as not just your revenue and your rate, but your marketing platform. How do you structure your pay-per-click, your website, your SEO strategy, your social media strategy? Running storage years ago was just such an easy thing. You built it, you put a website up, barely, and it was that. Like, you didn't do anything else. There's so much more sophistication that has to happen to run a solid operations in self-storage. It is truly not hire your aunt to answer the phone and call it a day. Those days have long been over. It's very, very strategic on marketing, revenue management, you know, even the property level maintenance of it all, the complication of new laws coming out, regulating the industry. Georgia's looking at a bill right now. It's rent control and a lot of other things. It's not just rent control, letting people know when there's pest infestations and all these other things. So the industry is going to get more attention. It's going to get more complex. It's going to get more complicated. So I think the small business owner, like all of us small business owners out there, are going to get more push due to competition, regulation, everything else. And it's already so hard to run a small business, as we all know. So you're just going to have a disadvantage if you're trying to go it alone and not keeping up with the industry and the changes and, you know, maybe considering professional management or going to your state show or just any education that you can get to keep up with that. I think you're going to start seeing struggles, and it's going to be a bright light of the people who did not learn and adapt and the people who did. And you're going to see that difference just increase over time.
Yeah, I don't think the, you know, build it and they'll come thing's going to work out too great. I mean, and they do in some certain places and some certain things. Fantastic. That's awesome. Yeah, we've seen that. It's one of the things that we want to do in this podcast is, you know, we call it the storage playbook, because we want to give actionable items that you can do to actually influence your business. We've seen a number of podcasts out there, Instagram, quote unquote, influencers in the self-storage world. And it's
favorites.
My favorites. And it's all about, you know, investing in self-storage, you know, why I'm so cool. You know, all those things and stuff like that.
How great I do.
How great I did.
My life is.
Right. You know, all that stuff.
Money.
Yeah. Yeah. And so, you know, we noticed that there isn't a lot of podcasts on how to run a self-storage business.
And the mistakes and the struggles and the hard stuff and the things you try that don't work. And yeah, I mean, we're human. We make mistakes. We made a lot of them. So if we can help somebody avoid a few, great. That's amazing.
Yeah, so this is a big point of this. And so hopefully each one of these episodes, that's our goal, is so you can have actionable items at the end of these things. We want to keep them short. We want to talk about this stuff. So Megan, if we do this, we manage places that are in REIT heavy places, you know, what kind of strategies need to be in place for owner operators? What are the things you need
to give a few and then you can give a few.
Yeah.
So one thing we've seen, a huge shift to remote managed properties, which is great in the right format. It does not always work. It is not a rubber stamp. As Rick says all the time, some things work some of the time. So it is not always a rubber stamp. So sometimes it is worth it to have that manager in the office to close the deals. We've seen about 10 more rentals a month with a staff property and definitely can compete more in revenue with a staff property. They can smooth over rate increases easier. They make sure the property's cleaner. They can deal with tenants, make them feel heard. So that is something I would tell you to think carefully about. Don't just look at the expense of the manager. There are other expenses, pros and cons, revenue that come with that staffing. Secondly, is just a good local presence, whatever that means. So if that's a website, if that's social, if that's grassroots marketing, focus local. Don't try to compete bigger with, you know, sometimes pay-per-click is more of a competition. Focus local, make those connections, make those relationships, because self-storage is a 3-mile market. So you can compete locally where bigger operators can. What are some tips you would give, Rick?
Wow, that's actually really, really good transition.
Actually really good.
Yeah, I was actually,
The transition.
That transition was okay.
I'm terrible at segments.
You're horrible.
How horrible. So let me tell you about a cat now.
That's why you're not a nurse.
So bad.
Yeah. So here's your pudding. Oh, by the way, you have cancer. You're
getting that would be how I would nurse.
That would be a nurse. You'd totally be an awful nurse. Or
yeah, as you're like, sign here.
Sign here. You're gonna die. We're pulling the flag. By the way, those are nice shoes.
I wouldn't compliment that. Way too personal.
So, yeah. So let's look at this. So they're playing rate games, man. You gotta do it. Sorry. It sucks. I hate doing it. Number one, I think it's unethical. I think it's a bait and switch. I do not agree with it in any way, shape, or form. But if you have a Class A facility, and I'm speaking from experience, because these are things that we're facing every single day in our markets. But if you have a Class A facility, they're offering $25 for a 10x10 that they're moving in. First floor climate control, you have a, you know, let's call it a B+, right? Or a B rated facility. Yeah, and you're keeping your rates at $80 to $90. You're just not going to get it. You know, Joe Public is going to go to that REIT. They're going to go to that place every single time. I would.
Yeah.
I'm a cheap guy. I'm going to go 100%. I mean, I know it's going to happen. You're right. Right. Everyone thinks they're going to need storage for a month, but they never do. Mm-hmm. So be very, very, very cautious. And sometimes you just got to do it. And so that is the market that we're in right now. Good, bad, ugly, whatever it is, you're going to have to play the game. You're going to have to get your hands dirty. You're going to have to be hyper-focused on revenue. So we go in. We have to cut rates. We have to get them down there so we can get money and we can get people in those doors. As the area fills up, you know, hopefully we'll see, you know, the trend of, you know, rates become higher so you can get higher, but you're going to have to do that. And then you're going to be hyper-focused also on rate increases. So we love a 699 program. 6 months in, rate increase, 9 months, 9 months, 9 months after that. Depending on where you're at, you know, anywhere between 8 to 15% is a good balance between everything. But you're gonna have to rethink doing yearly rate increases when you're in markets like this. Mm-hmm. You just gotta rethink your strategies. What worked before isn't gonna work now. So if you take anything away from this podcast, relook at how you do your revenue management strategies. Have a strategy, number one. Have it so everyone knows what it is and be able to lay it out so it's nice and clean so you can project it and you can see where your revenue is going to go.
Yeah. And expect pushback, right? Expect questions, expect people not to understand it. We just recently chatted with a manager that said, you know, somebody came in with a rate increase. She was very upset. The tenant was very upset. She said she's going to go somewhere else. We had to work with her of how, why we do it, what we do it, what does it mean on a cap rate? Here's the explanation of how that $25 really is much more than $25 once you amplify it on the valuation of the property, which they're going for a refinance in a year and a half that she doesn't know about. So we have to get the value out of the property. But you have to be able to make sure that they are being handled appropriately. We've had to do really heavy rate increases, 150% in some markets, and the manager was just gold at smoothing that over and helping with it. So make sure as you do them, because we're going to have to do them more and more and they're going to be bigger, you have a structure so that everyone is well equipped with the tools to make sure they are accepted without bad reviews easily. And you're not just being a jerk, right? We're all people helping right. other people, and nobody likes to get pay more for the same thing for no reason. That's just, we don't like that. So how do we make that as easy as possible for each other?
I think if I had a storage unit, and if I got like a $5 rate increase, I would literally probably pull all my stuff out, put lighter fluid on there, light it on fire, just to prove a point.
You would. You try to get me to help you.
And I would get you to help me.
Yeah. Nice.
Just to prove a point to the manager or whoever, who has no influence whatsoever. But I would just be the stubborn a-hole I would be that guy. 100%.
Manager to help you. And then you guys would go to dinner.
Then we'd go have some fun. We would probably cook s'mores over, you know,
over the items.
Yes, yeah, sure. My daughter's play stuff as we cook it. So, yes, we want to keep these things to about 20 minutes. So they're very quick, actionable. This is our first podcast that we have. As you know, we've had podcasts out there before. Yeah. So we would appreciate your support. Please like us. Please follow us. If you have any questions, please reach out to us. We'd love to chat with you a little bit more. info@atomicstoragegroup.com. That's the best way to get a hold of us. Again, Rick Beal, Megan Smith. Megan, it was great chatting with you and finally getting this thing going again.
Yeah, right? Well, I know. We've been playing this forever. And if you guys want us to cover any topics, hear about anything, have questions, we are open to suggestions.
Please drop us a line. And thank you so much for listening to this. Look forward to a lot of topics coming up soon. We're going to go over everything from marketing, AI, employee stuff. We'll probably even make up topics if you don't even know.
We will. We definitely will.
Absolutely. All right. Thanks again for listening. I really appreciate it. Hope you have a great day. And thanks again. All right. Well, that's a wrap for today. Thanks so much for listening. Our goal is that you come away with at least one actionable item that will help improve your self-storage facility. If we did that today, please like, subscribe, share, whatever you can do to help grow this podcast. Thank you so much for your interest in this. We'd love to see this grow. Please hit us up on LinkedIn or email us at info@atomicstoragegroup.com, and we'll see you on the next podcast.